good morning, and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the fifth Sunday in Epiphany. Pastor Alan Miller, chosen for a sermon topic, Christ Crucified, based on 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. Maria Miller is at the piano this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning. It is so good to be here with you, and I'm so thankful to God that He has brought us together again this morning, for it is here where we find grace sufficient enough to face all of our trials. And Christ Crucified is a message which I pray we can hear this morning, and I pray that we can hear of all of His graces and be strengthened in our faith on our journey to everlasting life. May we sing together our first hymn, number 728. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the just decrees of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our Old Testament reading for this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do not impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts, except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God, except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, heaven and earth and pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for our next hymn, number 672. may be seated. There's a popular story out there that a Sunday school teacher once asked her class, "What is small, eats nuts, has a bushy tail, and lives in a tree?" Confused and looking around to his fellow classmates, one of the students finally mustered up the courage to raise his hand. And he said, "Well, it sounds like a squirrel, but since we're in church, the answer must be Jesus." You know, you hang around the church for some time and you realize that Jesus really does seem to be the answer to almost everything. You go to church and everyone's familiar with that classic Sunday school response. Or if you don't know the answer to something, just respond with Jesus and you'll probably be right 75% of the time. Believe it or not, there is a lot of wisdom in that answer. Although, of course, the answer to that particular question was a squirrel. This morning, though, I want to ask a few different questions to you all myself. But have no fear, because I'm not trying to trick you. And in fact, I'll tell you right up front that Jesus will be the answer to all of them. Because what I want us to do this morning is to actually experience what Paul meant in verse 2 of our epistle reading. How he says that he decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, in all seriousness, Paul spoke about many, many topics. He wrote letters to a bunch of different churches, with each one struggling with various eternal issues. Paul addressed things such as why Christians weren't living in love and generosity. He wrote on topics to encourage those who are suffering from bodily and spiritual ailments. And he wrote further still to others having problems with adultery and unfaithfulness. Paul addressed dozens of issues, from adultery to gluttony to charity and humility. But it seems that in verse 2 of our epistle reading, that at the heart of it all, the answer to everything always goes back to that same single thing. "I decided to know nothing among you," Paul says, "except for Jesus Christ and him crucified." As we tackle various questions then this morning, I want you to continually think back to that Sunday school answer, back to Jesus, and back to Paul's determination to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. You look at some of the most fundamental questions a person may ask today concerning God, like, how do I know that God loves me? How do I know that God will provide for me? Or again, how will I know that I will indeed be raised on the last day and live with my God forever? With these fundamental questions, the answer is always Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. How do I know that God loves me? Well, we find that answer, beloved, in Christ crucified for you. Have we not heard it thousands of times that God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? The Lord has put His love on display. Sure, you could probably just go to creation and you could learn that God loves you simply by looking at the way He provides and takes care of you. But why tarry out there in the world when you can rather go straight to the heart of the matter? That we know God loves you, for He has done nothing less than send His own Son to die for you. And here you may see the love which the Father has in fact lavished upon you. A love that is deep, broad, high, and wide. A love that death itself, nor the powers of darkness, can ever separate you from Him. Well, you and I openly sinned, rebelled, and couldn't care less about Him. God became man, and He was willingly nailed to a cross. How do I know that God loves me? Beloved, it is clearly seen right here in Christ crucified. It is written on the palms of His hands, plain as a day. And you see it evidenced even more when we see how His heart was wrung through with a spear. We see it when water and blood gush forth from His open side. Here is evidence of a broken heart bursting with sorrows and love towards man. Of course, we know God loves each and every one of us because of Christ crucified. And further again, how do we know that God will continue to provide for our daily needs? Again, Christ crucified is the answer. And the scriptures themselves tell us to look here for the answer. For again, Paul says, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall we not along with Him, how will He not graciously give us all things? If God would so freely give us the very lifeblood of His only beloved Son, how could we ever doubt that He will not also provide the lesser things? In Christ, we have already obtained absolute generosity and divine loving kindness. He who spared no expense to give you that costly spiritual life shall certainly continue to give you that which costs Him nothing. Truly, the good Lord shall continue to provide and care for you every single day of your life. And again, as we asked already concerning the last fundamental question, how do we know that God will forgive me? How can I be certain that I shall live with Him forever on the last day? The answer, of course, as you know, is Jesus and Him crucified. What did Christ say on the cross but, "Father, forgive them"? And what did He say other than with that triumphant voice crying out, saying, "It is finished"? Who can bring any charge against God's elect, Paul says. It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? And he says, Jesus Christ is the one who died. Christ crucified is the answer. No charge can be brought against you, beloved. The accuser, the devil, can bring accusation upon accusation. And he can speak truth upon truth, listing every single sin, one after another. And yet we can boldly declare with Paul, who can condemn us? You can stand before God's throne by grace through faith and say, Christ has been crucified for me, taking upon himself my sins. Search for them, and you will not find them. Concerning all of those fundamental questions, again, the answer is always Jesus. But what about other questions that we may ask? Is it true that Jesus is still at the core and center of these as well? Beloved, what if I were to ask you questions about prayer? What if I ask you, why doesn't God seem to be answering my prayers? Or why do my requests seem to fall on deaf ears? And why aren't things working out the way that I want? Beloved, even still, believe it or not, the answer is still Christ crucified. You remember the prayer of the mother of James and John. There's a story when these disciples' mother comes up to Jesus and she asks him, Lord, allow my two boys to sit one on your right and one on your left when you enter into your glory. Jesus looks at her and simply says, you know not what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Needless to say, Jesus doesn't answer her request. No doubt she went away confused, but just a few days later, she finally sees what that would have meant. And in time, she learned to thank God for not answering her prayer. For when she looked upon Christ crucified, there she understood that to be at God's right and left when he entered into glory would have meant for her two boys to be crucified with him as with the two thieves, on his right and on his left. Beloved, praise God that the good Lord answers our prayers according to his wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Praise God that he doesn't always answer our prayers, for he alone knows what is good for us. And not just good for us in a moment or in a season, but that which is good for us eternally, and good for us and his kingdom. Praise God further that he doesn't always take our advice when we tell him what to do, but he decides rather to do that which is for our benefit, able to use all things together for our good. Christ crucified again answers the question for why God doesn't answer our prayers when we ask. First, because we often ask in ignorance. We often ask that which will harm us. Or, alternatively, by asking, we might miss out upon a season of growth that the Father has planned for us. As James says, no, count it all joy when you experience trials of many kinds. For know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And when endurance finishes its work, you may be mature, lacking nothing. Praise God that he doesn't answer every request in the way and time we ask it. But he gives us, or rather, those times and seasons to test us, to force us to rely upon him and to increase our dependence and faith. Praise God that he uses even those trials that we pray so heavily against for our good. We've asked questions now about fundamental things. How do I know God loves me? How do I know I will live forever? Why does God not answer all my prayers, all again which find their answer in Christ crucified? But what if we broaden our questions out just once more? That we start asking questions about morality and Christian living. Beloved, I'm sure you know by now the answer is still summed up in that common Sunday school answer, Christ crucified. For it can be asked, how do I overcome sin and addiction? Well, how does Paul answer that? In Romans 6, he says that our old self was crucified with Christ in order that this body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. How do you overcome addiction and sin's enticing lure? Look nowhere else than here, to Christ crucified. Draw your strength from the gospel, knowing that the same Spirit that descended upon Christ in his baptism descends upon you also. You are a temple of the living God, holy, blameless, and undefiled. Christ crucified stands in opposition to all temptation as it leads you to cry out, saying, how could I sin against the Lord? How can I sin against my Master who has loved me so, even to the point of death? Beloved, Christ crucified has the power to overcome all evil and temptations within us. You look to the Lord of glory, and you see in your baptism a union with Christ. See how there is a new birth as you get called into God's family. And as it is said that the old nature gets put to death with Jesus on the tree, raising to new life and remembering that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. How about another question concerning how to have a better marriage? Again, does Paul not answer that very question by going directly to Christ and him crucified? He says to the church in Ephesus, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The key to good marriages is not for more seminars or self-help books, but the key rather is to Calvary. The answer is nothing short than Christ crucified. It's husbands imitating Christ himself by daily dying for your wife. It's husbands taking their cue from the Lord himself, dying to their desires and wishes, and laying them all aside to care for their wife alone, to lay aside all and to consider nothing but their wife's well-being and welfare. Answers to all of your marital questions and difficulties is found in Christ. And see how your marriages shall be transformed. Serve your wives for a week and see the simplicity, the wisdom, and the simple Sunday school answer. If I had more time, beloved, I could take on many more questions. And time and again, we would see the wisdom of answering them all with Christ and him crucified. But just for the sake of time, let me just quickly ask just a few more. For I can hear it in my soul. I can hear one asking, how can I learn to take sin more seriously? How can I grow in my disdain for evil? And how can I get my conscience back, which has grown so dull? By nothing short than upon contemplating upon Christ crucified. It's as the hymn goes, Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Meditating upon the wounds of Christ and looking upon his bleeding head has that sanctifying effect. It has that spirit-born power to so move you to put away sin, knowing that it was sin and your sin and my sin that kept him there. What better cure for sinful desires than to see the black cruelty that our sins caused, putting to death even the Lord of glory? And I can hear it asked again, how do I overcome bitterness? Well, what does Moses foreshadow when God speaks of him by the waters of Marah? For he says that the Lord showed him a tree, which when he cast into the waters became sweet. It's impossible to remain bitter when we cast our eyes upon the tree of the cross, or when we hide the truth of the cross deep within our hearts. For there on the tree, we see Jesus dying for every sin for which you and I are so upset about. And there on the tree, do we see Christ's promise to make all things new. Here is atonement made perfect, and his grace sufficient to strengthen you and all of your needs. And lastly, beloved, though I could go on for ages, how can we have effective evangelism? It's by lifting high the cross. Jesus is the answer which brings the nations to life and to the knowledge of his grace for the forgiveness of sins. Beloved, here is grace sufficient for every trial. Here is love unbounded, grace bestowed, and confidence attained. All blessing in heaven and on earth are summed up in these words. That simple Sunday school answer, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so I pray that may Christ crucified fill your hearts this morning. And may you carry this truth wherever you go. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Gracious Father, we thank and praise you this morning that you continue to love, provide, and reassure us with your grace. We thank you for continuing to comfort us with the truth of the gospel and lead us to rest in Christ alone for the assurance of our salvation. Lead us to see and trust in your great love towards us through the giving of your only begotten Son. And help us to trust that you will work all things together for our good, knowing that you alone see all things and act in wisdom and grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And holy God, we come before you, asking that you would so move and shape us more and more into the image of your Son. Daily we ask that you would put within us a hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Put within us a holy desire to do that which is good and right and God-pleasing. Lead us to speak well of our brothers and sisters. Lead us to put away all forms of idolatry, loving and trusting in you alone. and lead us in our vocations to die to self and to live for your kingdom and for one another, serving each other daily in love and good works. Remove from us all forms of bitterness, all harboring of sin, and help us to see and disdain the blackness of even what we would be tempted to say are little sins. Father, lead us to be holy as you are holy, living for you and for your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And mighty God, help us to hold Jesus Christ and him crucified always upon our hearts and minds. Lead us to meditate upon him morning, day, and night, knowing that he is all and in all. Lead us to be a people wholly dependent upon you. Lead us in prayer and praise and in reading and learning the scriptures daily. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And gracious God, we come before you asking for your mercy to be upon us. We humbly ask that you would graciously continue to give us seasonable weather, that you would look after also those whose jobs are difficult and dangerous, for those who travel, and for those whose work provides the necessities and safety of our nation. Be with those also who we now name before you this morning. We lift before your throne, trusting in your care, Lois Giesecke. She is experiencing some heart irregularities and a fast pulse. We ask that you would bring healing and normalcy to her. Bring her heart back into rhythm that she may continue for many days and years to serve you on earth with strength and joy. Now be with the doctors and nurses to proceed with wisdom and knowledge, and we ask that you would grant them full success. We lift before you again Hannah Miller, asking that you would continue to speak to her heart and mind. Give her peace and strength in the trial, and continue to bring all your saints together to bow down before your throne, trusting in your goodness. Give your spirit to her that says that you are sufficient for all our trials. We do humbly ask, though, of course, Father, that you would continue to grant physical healing and peaceful days for her, to give Hannah your joy. And likewise, we lift before you the loved ones of Brad Brady Hoff, especially with us this morning, Phyllis. As Brad was laid to rest this past week, we thank you for comforting your children with the hope of the resurrection. Continue to comfort them and for all who grieve the recent loss of loved ones, including the Brady Hoff family and the Durker family. For all who are struggling, for all who we now name silently upon our hearts, be to them their peace and strength. And remind them that their suffering is only for a little while, as you promise that you are coming again soon to make all things new. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time we worship God with our offerings. Thank you. Would you please stand for the service of the sacrament? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give Him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. At your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain. Yet in mercy, you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary you spared not your only Son, but sent him to offer his life as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us, like Abraham our father, to trust in your promise now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "A drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ, which is given for you. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith. May depart with his peace and with his joy. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ, which is shed for you. This is the true body of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. The body of Christ for you. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ given for you. Lord, bless you and keep you in the true faith. May he strengthen you to life everlasting. You can go in his peace. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ, which is given for you. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ, given for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sin. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ, which is given for you. This is the body of Christ for you. The Lord bless you and keep you in the true faith. May he strengthen you to life everlasting. You can go in his peace and with his joy to life everlasting. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ, which is given for you. Take and eat. The true body of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ, which is given for you. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith. May depart with his peace and with his joy. Amen. To the Lord's table. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ for you. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ which is shed for you. The Lord bless you and keep you in the true faith. May he strengthen you in your baptismal faith until he calls you home. You can go in his peace. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ, which is given for you. This is the true body of Christ, shed for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This is the true body of Christ for you. This is the true body of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. The Lord bless you and keep you both in the truth of faith. May he strengthen you in your baptismal faith until he calls you home to guarantee his peace. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ which is given for you. The body of Christ for you. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith. May depart with his peace and with his joy. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ, which is shed for you. This is the true body of Christ, which is given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. Take and eat the true body of Christ for you. The Lord bless you and keep you in the true faith. May he strengthen you in your baptismal faith until he calls you home. You can go in his peace. Amen. This is the body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ for you. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ, which is given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This is the true body of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith. May depart with his peace and with his joy. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ, which is given for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This is the true body of Christ, which is shed for you. This is the body of Christ for you. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ, which is given for you. The body of Christ for you. The Lord bless you and keep you, and the true faith may strengthen you to life everlasting. You can go in His peace. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ, which is given for you. Take and eat. The true body of Christ, given for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This is the body of Christ for you. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith. May depart with His peace and with His joy. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ, which is given for you. This is the body of Christ shed for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sin. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith. May depart with His peace and with His joy. Amen. Walter, take and eat. This is the true body of Christ for you. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith. Pray with His peace and with His joy. Amen. Amen. Check, would you take and eat the true body of Christ given for you? May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith. Depart with His peace and with His joy. Amen.
Take drink. It's the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. May this body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in your faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Would you please stand?
Amen.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn 461.